Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message.
Hallelujah. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord? Praise God. Such a privilege always for us to be here. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to jump on your feet. I want you to tell your neighbor, expect unusual miracles. I want you to turn to the other side, to the person you tolerate. Say, today's my day for a miracle. Do you believe that? If you believe it, give Jesus a great shout of praise. Amen. Thank you. You may take your seat. Well, I'm excited to be here. I believe I really, really feel a stirring in my spirit. I really do believe that when every time I come here, my faith is challenged. So I have to, when I go home, I will tell them, listen, I've heard Pastor Shane this morning behind the scenes, a spy picking up some stuff, you know. And so I'm picking up some stuff here. So I'm going home being filled with faith. Amen. I just love what the Lord is doing here. And again, this morning when we spoke about the third venue with DCC, coming to DCC Finland, I experienced just like a leap in my belly. And the expectation of what God is going to do. And I believe with all of my heart, that every need shall be met. And souls will come to the kingdom of God like never before. And overflow. Can I quickly come down here and get personal with you all? I believe that we're living in the greatest time ever, where the Spirit of God will be moving in a fashion like we've never seen before. I believe really that the church world has never seen what God is about to do. I really do believe that the churches in South Africa will become too small for what God is going to do in this place. You know, the prophet Joel says in Joel chapter 2, he says, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit. The end time revival will be a revival of souls. It will be souls coming to Jesus like never before. And it will be made up with a supernatural move of signs, wonders, and miracles following. But I want to declare this to whoever wants to receive the word, the greatest harvest, financial harvest, is coming to the body of Christ. I really do believe that the church of Jesus will no longer will be able to feed off of the bits and pieces, but that the church of Jesus Christ will experience such an overflow. Come on, where heaven will open up. If you believe it, come on, put those hands together. I give Him praise in this place. I believe that the Lord is busy releasing this exactly at this moment. So I want you to say with me, unusual miracles. Unusual. One more time, unusual miracles. Unusual. For those who wants to believe this, well, I believe that God is going to bless you in ways that you've never expected. Your A, B, C, and D list, throw it away. The way God is going to do it, God is going to do it through the stingy. Oh, come on, somebody. God is going to do it through the unusual. Unusual ways of breakthroughs are coming. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. And I want you to read with me. This is the prophet Elijah declaring a drought. And the word of God says in the book of 1 Kings 17, verse 1, and Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from me and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded. I want you to say, God has commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I, the Lord your God, have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread. And the word goes on. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little of oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks and that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord your God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on the earth. Amen. Now God said to Elijah, there's a drought coming. Now, I really do believe that if I stand before you today and I prophesy to you, a drought is coming. It's not a type of word that you want to hear. The prophet of God also knew that if he's going to prophesy a drought is coming, that the same drought will affect him. But he knew that God is a God that provides for his own. I want to say this again. God is a type of God that provides for his own. I want to touch a little bit on the character of God, because that's exactly who God is. God is a great provider. And I want to tell you, even if there's a drought, the drought will not come near your house. There can be a drought down your street, but the drought will not affect you. Amen. I want to declare this to somebody. The drier the bones, the greater the miracles. God doesn't move where it's easy. Come on, God moves where there's faith. Listen, let me just quickly declare this free of charge in this place. You don't need more faith. You need less doubt. God is a miracle worker. He's a way maker. He's a mountain mover. He's a giant slayer. Come on, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So he provides for his own. And the scripture says, so Elijah prophesied a drought is coming. And I like what the man of God was doing. He didn't say, I'm going to go for a 7-week fast and hear what God is saying. His relationship with the Lord was in such a way that he came down and he said, this is what God is saying. A drought is coming and it will not rain unless I release this. Come on, I speak to some people in this place that's going to release. You've got the power of God working on the inside of you. I have to say this to somebody, and I want you to help me tell your neighbor, God is not working against you. God is working for you. Come on, say this with me. God is working for me. Come on, one more time. God is working for me. So I like what the Lord is saying. The Lord said to Elijah, a drought is coming, but I want you to go down. There's a little brook that will supply you the water. And then he goes on. He says, I, the Lord God, have commanded the ravens to feed you. I, the Lord your God, I, the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tikkuni, Jehovah Rofeka, Jehovah Shalom. Come on. I, the Lord your God, your righteousness, your Prince of Peace. Come on, your everlasting Father, your great provider. I have commanded that raven to take care of you. And the scripture says it's so powerful. I like it. I like it so much. I like the prophet Elijah. Do you know why? Because he loved hamburgers. The ravens brought him meat and bread. That sounds like a hamburger to me. Amen. And you know what the Bible says? In the morning, there was breakfast. And there was brunch. And there was dinner. And God provided. And listen, let me just quickly say this. That if you look at the raven, a raven is a stingy animal. A raven, it's much different than an eagle. An eagle soars far above the wind, far above the storm. But the raven is on the ground looking at like a vulture, looking like what he can devour. And he's not sharing anything. I've heard a guy having a hot dog on a golf course, and here came a raven and grabbed the hot dog or the Vienna out of the bun and went off and left this guy with the bun. You know, they are scavengers. They take. And suddenly God is saying, I'm going to use the stingy. I believe that was the first franchise happened in the desert. It was called Jehovah Jireh franchise. Burgers. Amen. Jehovah Jireh. Say with me, Jehovah Jireh. Come on, one more time. Jehovah Jireh. So the scripture is clear on this. Every morning, they brought in bread and meat. In the evenings, in the afternoons. And I'm thinking about this. These ravens are not stupid birds. They know that Elijah has water. So if we bring in meat and bread, we take some of the water. And something that opened up for me is, in my taking care of the need of others, my own need will be met. I don't want you to be silent now. I want you to sit at the tip of your chair because something good is about to happen in your house. Come on, in your life. So God is going to use the unusual. Say with the unusual to bless you. I believe that unusual, stingy people will come to bless your vision, will come bless your house. You know, about a week ago, I was in my room. I was praying late in the evening. So I was praying, and God started speaking to me about provision, that He's the great provider, and He'll provide every single need. So I was so excited. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I ran to Eileen, and I woke up. I said, God gave me a word. And what I'm telling you now is as true as I'm standing before you. So I said to God gave me a word. God spoke to me about provision. And I opened my Bible and I started reading how God commanded the raven to provide. And as I was speaking about a raven, we heard ravens at our window. 2 o'clock in the morning. So when I heard the raven, my phone went off. And there was an SMS. Somebody paid money into my account. Then I heard the raven for the second time. And the phone went off the second time. I was looking at her, she was looking at me. What's going on? Third time, the raven goes outside my window. Third time, my phone went off. Another SMS. Okay. The ravens are coming, brother. The ravens are coming, sister. And I like this, that Elijah didn't doubt. He didn't worry about if God has forgotten him. No, he knew that God paid the rent last month and God will pay the rent this month. He knew that God came through a year ago and God came through today. You know, sometimes in the desert, God allows you to go through the desert so that He can remind you what He took you out of. Sometimes He reminds you, listen, I am the great I am. Come on, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord your God. I will take care of you. So many times people think that in the desert, a desert is just not just a desert. A desert is a holy ground. Amen. Come on, somebody. So the Lord sometimes takes you through the desert so that you can understand and realize again where He took you out from. How many of you in this place can testify today, you're in church, you can't lie, that you've been praying about something maybe a year ago, maybe 10 years ago, and God has done it for you? Wave at me. Come on, how many of you knew that if it wasn't for the grace of God, you were not supposed to be here? This building wasn't supposed to be here. This ministry wasn't supposed to be here. But because of His grace, He pulled you through. It happened. Hallelujah. Now, Jehovah Jireh, I like the word Jehovah Jireh because the scripture says God spoke to Abraham. And I want you to hear me right now. God blesses obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. God blesses obedience. Please say with me, God blesses obedience. You know, a lot of people declare the scripture in Deuteronomy where the scripture says, blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the field. Amen. And blessed will you be. But the people miss out where it says that if you listen to the Lord your God, then these blessings shall overtake you. So when we start to obey God, the blessing is in the obedience. Will somebody say that? The blessing will be in the obedience. God, when God starts to speak to you in obedience, He's not asking you for simple things. Most of the times it's difficult. It's going to cost you something. So God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son, the one you love. Please take note. He didn't say, I want Ishmael. He said, I want Isaac, the son of promise. Please say with me, the son of promise. And I want you to go and sacrifice him. And Abraham didn't dispute it. He didn't argue with it. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. He didn't fight. He didn't say, well, Lord, can't I give you the 5%? He said, Lord, whatever you want. And the scripture says, so he took all of his servants. He saddled the donkey. He took his son. And they went on to the mount called Moriah. And when they got to the mount Moriah, he turned around. And this got me. He turned around. He said to all of his servants, I want you to stay here while the son and I go and worship. I like that. What did God tell him? God said, I want you to go and take your son, Isaac, and sacrifice him. I want you to kill him. And Abraham, God, then he turned around and he said, hey, servants, I thank you so much for walking this walk with me. But where I'm going now, you're going to disrupt my worship. I want you to stand here for a minute. The son and I are going to go and worship, and we will return to you. Imagine this. God tells him, I want you to kill your son. And he says, we're going to go and worship and both of us will return. He knew that even if I have to kill my son, the great Jehovah Jireh, He will raise him back from the dead. And I'm not coming down that mountain without my son. I'm bringing my son with. But a revelation went on. I believe with all of my heart that Abraham had a revelation at the Mount Moriah. When he turned around, he said, we're going to go and worship. He had a revelation. Your sacrifice must form part of your worship. If your sacrifice does not form part of your worship, you will worship what you were supposed to sacrifice. Can I say that again? He had a revelation. God's not in the... God says, I want you to sacrifice. And he knew that when God says sacrifice, he asks you for something worth value. Listen, if it doesn't cost you something, it's not a sacrifice. If it doesn't hurt you, it's not a sacrifice. This is why God said, Isaac. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Isaac it is. So he turned around. He said, hang on here. We're going to go and worship. I'm going to take the greatest sacrifice and I'm going to use it as my sign of worship. So I want you to write this down on somebody's forehead that you don't forget this, that my sacrifice must form part of my worship. If my sacrifice does not form part of my worship, I will worship what I was supposed to sacrifice. Hallelujah. Come on, I said hallelujah. God is calling sacrifice. And so long story short, we all know that before he killed his son, he looked up. And he saw behind him a ram caught into the thicket. So he called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Come on, say with me, the Lord will provide. So Jehovah Jireh is a place of more than enough, a place of provision. Come on, I want to say this prophetically, can I? I wasn't asked to do this. I want to say this prophetically. I declare this place, Jehovah Jireh, a place where there will be more than enough. Come on, say with me, a place that's more than enough. I love the slogan, a place of miracles, but this will be a place of more than enough. Come on, say with me, Jehovah Jireh. One more time, Jehovah Jireh. Now, Jehovah Jireh is the place called provision, but our God, he's also called El Shaddai. Please take note, his name is not El Gedbai. His name is not El Chipo. His name is El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the all-sufficient one. Come on, the Bible says to him belong all the silver, all the gold, all the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. If you believe that, come on, I want you to put your hands together and give him praise. To him belong all the gold and all the silver, all the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. Now, if God can send a raven to locate the man of God in the desert, do you think that God cannot locate you in your desert? He will find you. I declare this, he will find you. This week even, he will find you. There's a turnaround coming. You might think that why didn't God use the eagle to feed him? No, God is saying that I am God. I am the Lord your God. I'm going to use the stingy. I'm going to use unusual ways. I wasn't supposed to use a raven, but I will use the raven because what I'm going to do in you and through you, no man will get the glory after, my God. After this, you will see that I am God, that I have taken care of you. And you know what? Your business is not understanding or wondering, figuring it out. How will God do it? Your business is just believing that whatever I ask according to his will, it shall be done. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, the book of 1 John says, whatsoever we shall ask God according to his will, it shall be given unto us. How do I know whatever I ask if it's according to his will? Well, it's simple. The word is his will, and his will is his word. So when I have a, let me quickly explain this to you. If I have a need, I don't take the need to God. Because now the Bible says whatever, and it's not wrong to take your need to God. Just hear me. Just hear me. The Bible says whatsoever I shall ask according to his will, it shall be given unto me. So what I do, instead of presenting my problem to him, I present his word to him. I present the word to him. I don't present the problem, I present the word. When I present my problem is subject to change. But when I present the word can never come back void. The word must establish what has been sent for. So when you have a situation, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, it is written that I have been young and I have been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. You promise, Lord, that you'll send the raven. You promise, Lord, that you'll send the widow. In Jesus' name. Is somebody listening to me in this place? Come on, I said, is somebody listening to me in this place? His word will not come back void. Come on, he is the great I am. His word is yes and amen. God is about to use the ridiculous. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody about ridiculous miracles. I'm speaking to somebody about the ridiculous breakthroughs. The way you saw God move is not the way you're going to see him move now. He's going to do it supernaturally. He's going to do it ridiculously. Can you feel it? I said, can you feel it? Hallelujah. Oh, Ramakite Membromoski Pravanda Mesha Koprovosiende. Ridiculous breakthroughs. You might not be qualified for that job, so what? There's favor on your life. If you have favor, you don't need money. Favor will open up doors which no man can shut. Favor will take you before people. The same eyes that saw you going down will see you come up again in the name of Jesus. So the Bible says every single day, I like Elijah. Elijah didn't woke up in the afternoon and wondered, well, I think maybe God forgot about me. No, he knew that God is supplying. Do you know what? Because the Bible says, God says, I have commanded. God will command the blessing. And what God commands will come to pass. Amen. Do you believe that? So the scripture says that while they were eating, he was eating burgers, drinking water. No problem. God has supplied his need. And suddenly something happened. The Bible says the brook dried up. Please take note. When the brook dried up, the ravens stopped from coming. As long as there was water, the ravens came. This is why somebody needs to hear this. I have to say this again. When you take care of the need of somebody else, your own need will be taken care of. The ravens knew that there's water, so we'll bring him meat, we'll bring him some bread, and we'll take some water, vice versa. But when the brook dried up, the ravens stopped from coming. But do you know what I love about what the Bible says? That God didn't say to him, well, heaven dried up, I don't know what you're going to do now. No, listen, the miracle or the provision didn't stop. The vehicle that brought the miracle changed. When the ravens stopped from coming, the provision didn't stop. You know, I see a couple of people, some people with a big smile, some people nearly jumping up, some people lost me, some people say, Lord, this is for me, some people are busy fishing. I need you all on board quickly. I said, I need you all on board quickly. If God can supply for Elijah, he can do it for you. He's not a respecter of man. When the ravens stopped from coming, Elijah didn't fear that God has left him, God has deserted him, because he believed in the Bible, he believed in a word, he believed in a God that promised, I'll never leave you nor will I ever forsake you. God takes care of his own. Please say that with me. God takes care of his own. So the miracle didn't stop. The vehicle that brought the miracle changed. Whatever you're facing today is not because provision stopped. It's just because God is saying, I'm changing the vehicle. God doesn't bless people in comfort zones. God blesses people outside comfort zones. You know, when we are in the comfort zone, your faith is in the comfort. I say this over and over and over. This is the reason I say this, the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this. The way God's going to do it for you is not going to be the way you're used to it. He's going to do it in his way. The miracle didn't stop. Tell that person next to you, the miracle didn't stop. The vehicle is just changing. So God said to him, I want you to get up. Now again, this is but the powerful part. The blessing lies in the obedience. God says, I want you to do something. I want you to get up. Go there. For I, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsukuni, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer, The one who takes away your disease, your great provider, the one who will take care of your future. Come on, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I, the Lord your God, who have a name which is above every other name. I have commanded a widow to take care of you. Yes, Lord. He didn't say, well, God is a widow. How will he take care of me? No, he knew that the God that he serves is a God that operates in the supernatural. So the Bible says that God already spoke to the widow. I like that. If you want God to do something for you, do you know what you have to do? You have to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to act out of obedience. Lord, what do you want me to do? I have to act out of obedience. When you act out of obedience, God will open up the next. Absolutely. So God said to get up, there's a widow that I already commanded, I already spoke to this widow. So the scripture says that as he went down, he saw the widow. And then he did something. He said, can I ask you for a little bit of water? Imagine now asking a strange lady, can I give some water? Now, what I like, he said, give me some water to drink. I want water to drink. And I like this because he tested her heart. She says, water, it's fine. You know what? That was also part of the drought. Think about this. It's part of the drought. She says, yes, I've got some water. He says, okay, while you're giving me water, I want you to get me something to eat. She says, no, you don't understand. I've got a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. We're going to have a small cake. And my son and I, we're going to eat and die. And I believe that Elijah had a revelation. He said, hang on now. Now, you don't understand. I haven't come here to tell you that you're going to die. We're going to bury you. I'm about to tell you that your vase will overflow. That your vessels will not run empty. I'm prophesying this to somebody, by the way. So I'm not here to tell you that we're going to bury you. I'm going to tell you that you will be planted. There's a big difference in between, you know, anything that's planted and something that's dead. Something that's dead has reached the end of its life. Goes into the ground. But you that's planted, you're not about to have a ceremony about your life. Come on, you're about to break forth out of that ground and go from glory to glory. Now, can I just say this before I'm going to continue with the sermon? That one thing that the Lord taught me, it doesn't matter where I am, which service I am, whatever is spoken out of the word must come to pass in my own life. So I take it. I take that word 100% and say, Lord, it has been said. It's done. If it's said, I take it. I believe it. It must come to me in my house. Why do I say this? Because I believe what I'm preaching on, teaching on today must come to you in your house. Come on, who believes this word is for me and my house? Supernatural overflow is coming. Who believes that? So when this woman says, we're going to eat and die, listen, I believe this with all my heart. This woman was thinking to herself, we're going to have our last supper and die. But Elijah was actually saying, hey, you're not going to have your last supper and die because Christ became your last supper. You're not going to have your last supper and die. Christ became your last supper. You're going to eat and eat and eat and you have more than enough. Tell your neighbor, this is not my last supper. Come on. It's not my last supper. It's not my last supper. Hallelujah. So the scripture says, she said, I've got a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. You see, God doesn't ask you how much you have in your hand. Little is much in God's hands. God can take little and turn it into much. I want to give you a quick testimony, may I? I was sitting with a couple of our team members, and so we all sat, and I had a feeling in here. I need some peppermint crisp Todd. You know that feeling? Who knows that feeling? Wave at me. Yes, I'm in the right church. So I said to the team, let's go to Spur. We're going to get a peppermint crisp Todd. So I got there. I don't know. All of a sudden, there was just something in here that says, Todd, you need peppermint crisp Todd. I now understand why Elijah liked these cakes so much. But in any case, so I went to Spur, and we were getting the tarts, and everybody was sitting, and I'm having some of my tart. And while I'm eating this tart, I heard a voice. And the Lord said to me, the waitress is trusting for R1,000. So I thought to myself, Lord, speaking to the other ear, because at that very moment, I needed R70,000. All right? Breakthrough in my own life. 70,000. Now the Lord is asking me to give away R1,000. So I, you know, when you eat that tart, it's like your ears closes up immediately. Heaven, I'm in heaven, you know? And so my son sat next to me, and just before we left, I said to him, listen, just quickly go to the ATM, and I want you to draw R500 for me. He says, no problem. Took the card, and he went. And as he was walking away, I heard a voice again. I didn't ask you for 500. I said 1,000. And I shouted. I said, okay, do 1,000. Do 1,000. So, long story short, I was paying the bill, but I added no tip there. So I saw this woman's face. It's like, oh, I needed breakthrough. And I took the 1,000 out of my pocket, and I said, lady, I want to tell you something. The Lord has sent me here. He gave me a craving for peppermint crisp tart. Gave me a craving. Because the Lord said that you need a miracle. You were praying for R1,000. When I said that to her, I slid the 1,000 in her hand, and I looked at her face. She was crying, jumping, shouting, dancing. Everything in one. She was jubilating. Yeah, it's her. The Lord blessed her. So I understood, all right, the craving came because God gave me that craving. Because God wanted to bless this woman. So I said, Lord, that's awesome for her. God bless her. So I went home and I felt so good. You know, let me just quickly tell you. If you love the Lord, you love blessing people. There's just something that happens with you when you become a blesser. Come on, when you bless people. Is somebody listening to me? Wave at me. Where's the blessers? Now, many people say, well, if I have, I will give. No, well, the Bible says God gives seed to the sower. If you're a sower, you will always have seed to give. Always. In actual fact, you have to go before the Lord if you haven't have seed. Say, Lord, I want to make a covenant with you that when you bless me, I'll become a blesser. Listen, you're not an owner of anything. What God blesses you, it's just supposed to go through your hands. Amen. So I woke up the next morning, R70,000 came into my account. I don't know how. I didn't know from where. Well, if you were in my shoes, you would have jumped up on your seat right now. Run a couple of times, a couple of laps. Because God is a God of breakthrough. God of miracles. He said to this woman, I want you to give for me first. Now, I like this. He wasn't because he was stingy himself. He said, no, if you put God first, all the other things shall be added unto you. Can I be personal with you right now? Everything in your life, before you do it, make sure there's eternity value to what you're doing. And I don't say, listen, just hear my heart quickly. The Lord spoke to me as clear as day. Why does it help us to have 10 cars? Can only drive one at a time. What eternity? We'll try this side. You make plans for the future. It's nothing to do with the kingdom. It doesn't change eternity. It doesn't take souls to the kingdom. This is why you have to get behind something that is moved by souls. That's soul winning. Is somebody listening to me? You get behind that with all of your heart, with all of your might, and you bless it. And you watch how God blesses you. Come on, if you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. If you take care of God's house, your house will never lack anything. But you can say, well, I've been praying about certain things. Well, take care of God's kingdom and His righteousness first. All the other things. All the other things. Why do I do this? Because those things has got nothing to do with eternity. But God says, I'm going to eat. I'll give it to you. But make my kingdom your first priority. Somebody listening to me. So He said, when you honor the man of God, You'll have more than enough. He says, let me just quickly tell you. You will eat and eat and eat until rain comes back. And you have no lack. And the Bible says, you know, I'm just jumping quickly. The Bible says, for many days, he and she and the whole household ate. According to the word of God. Again, if God is a respecter of man, I would close the Bible and say, let's go home. But if God can do it for Elijah, he can do it for you. He can do it for your family. Hallelujah. Can you hear it? There goes the birds. Here comes the ravens. Flap, flap. I don't know how they make, so don't ask me. I will roar. Rawr. That's not a raven. That's a lion. All right. Can you hear it? So the Bible went on even further. The scripture says in 1 Kings 19, the Bible says that Elijah was sleeping and suddenly there's an angel waking him up and says, hey, I've baked a cake. He liked cake, that guy. Okay. Wherever there's a cake, make me a cake first. There's always cake with him. I think he was a pastor. So he woke up, the Bible says he ate the cake, and the cake gave him power for 40 days. That was a good cake. That's a good cake. That he had strength for 40 days. So he went in the strength of that cake for 40 days. For 40 days, he had the strength. Now, I want you to hear me quickly. The Bible says, so Elijah went onto a mountain. He said to his servant, go out, tell me, what do you see? Come and report. So the scripture says the servant came back. He said, I see nothing. He says, go again. So the Bible says every time we send his servant, Elijah was praying. Now, at the seventh time, the servant came back. He said, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's good enough. Prepare for rain. But the powerful part of this is Elijah, when Elijah was praying, he wasn't praying, Lord, let a cloud appear. A cloud is never for the man of faith. A cloud is always a sign for the servant. The man of God don't need a cloud to command the rain from coming. Imagine I take you outside and you don't see any clouds and I tell you, guys, it's going to rain. You're going to think I lost it. You're going to ask me, where's the clouds? The difference between me and you is I walk by insight and not by eyesight. Maybe I'm going to speak to somebody in this crowd. You don't walk by you walk by insight, not by eyesight. So he said, I see nothing. What Elijah wasn't praying, oh God, let a cloud appear. I believe with all of my heart that Elijah prayed, Lord, let him see what I see. Let him see the El Shaddai. Come on, let him see the God of plenty, the Lord that's more than enough. So the servant came back to the man of God after the seventh time, and he said, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand. Now think about this. The sky wasn't gray. There wasn't thundering. It was a small, small cloud in a very far, far, far end of the sky. And Elijah said, that's good enough. Prepare for rain. Prepare for rain. That's good enough. Prepare for rain. Little is much. I said, little is much. Little is much. You can take little, God will multiply it with much. Listen, when you take little, God will increase you to the left and to the right. You will have so much that you will have to tell your family members, listen, you're going to have to move to another city because our possessions are too much. Hallelujah. And I like what the scripture goes on and says, Elijah says, there it goes, there's the sound of a mighty rain coming. He didn't see the rain. He saw a small cloud. And he said, there it is. There's the sound of the abundance of rain. You have to hear it in your spirit before you can see it in the natural. You have to be so convinced that rain is coming. I need at least 5 people filled with faith in this place quickly that will help me. You have to be so convinced that in your drought that he is El Shaddai. You have to be so convinced that he's the God of. You have to be so convinced that you've heard. Just five people. You have to be, who's convinced? Who's convinced that you've heard? Who's convinced that you've heard? You've heard a rumbling. There's a sound of the abundance of rain. There's the sound of the abundance of rain. Come on, say, there it is. There's the sound of the abundance of rain. There it is. The sound of the abundance of rain. When I say that, I felt a shift. I felt a shift. I felt a shift. I felt a shift. I prophesied ridiculous miracles. 24-hour turnarounds in the name of Jesus Christ. In your house, to your family, to your children's children, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of lack right now in Jesus' name. I declare, rise up in Jesus' name. See the cloud. Prepare for rain. It's here. Everything will be different next week. I declare this. I declare this. Everything will be different next week. By the way, when God decides to bless you, He doesn't just bless you. He blesses your children's children. Come on. Everybody in your DNA will have the blessing of God. Come on. More than enough. More than enough. The ravens will get you in that desert. I don't care what they say about South Africa's economy. I'm not part of this economy. My Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on. The Bible says, to Him belong all the silver, all the gold, all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Isaiah says, before they even call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preached to myself this morning. Jehovah will take care of you. He will take care of every single need. Every single need. You better make sure that if your dream doesn't scare you, it's not a dream of God. You have to have dreams so big that it scares you, that it'll shake you to the core. If you can fund your own vision, this is not of God. Hallelujah. If you can fund your own vision, it's not of God. How do I know a vision is of God if there's no funds? If people around me ridicule me and say that you're crazy, you're going to lose it all. Listen, I'm speaking to a bunch of crazy people. Crazy faith. Crazy faith. Hallelujah. I want to try to cram this in five more minutes. That the scripture says that the disciples came to Jesus. They said, Lord, why couldn't we perform these miracles? Why couldn't we cast him out? He says, because of your unbelief. For I tell you, whoever have faith as a mustard seed will even be able to tell a mountain, be thou removed. And if there's no doubt in their heart, it shall happen. Now, can I just quickly share this with you? God said to the serpent in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman, between the seed of the woman and your seed, there will be enmity. In other words, the seed of the woman will become your enemy. God said this in Eden already. He says, he, the seed of the woman, will do what? Crush your head. And you will just bruise his heel. What this means is God says that the seed has got such potential that it will crush the serpent's head. The only way to get out of poverty is to sow your way out. Oh, I'm going to speak to this crowd here. That's how you crush that serpent's head. So the Bible says, Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. So many people think, if I have seed just like this, I can, or faith just like this, I can move mountains. But what Jesus is actually saying was, Jesus is saying, he didn't say if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. The original Hebrew language doesn't say as small. He says, as a mustard seed. It means that this faith, the seed that you have, or the faith that you have, must adapt to the potential of the seed. Seed in my hand remains seed. Nothing happens if it's just in my hand. But what happens when seed goes into the ground? Do you know what happens with seed in the ground? It dies first. So whatever I sow, I die to it. It's into the ground. What do I do then? Then I water it. What do? You water it. Lord, it is written. Your word promises. You say that I have to remind you of your promises. You give seed to the sower. Pray to the eater. Lord, you declare the word. So what happens? You go through seasons. Because what happens with that seed? By the way, seed has been created to go through all four seasons. Seed hasn't been created just to go through summer. No, there's something found in a seed when God created it to withstand some of the most severe weather. Hallelujah. I'm getting somewhere now. So the Bible says, so think about this. So in the ground, it dies. It goes through seasons. So here it comes. Here comes the rain, the raining season. Bang. What happens with that seed? What you don't see, the Bible says, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance. By the way, the Bible doesn't say faith is the substance. The Bible says now faith is the substance. If it's not now, it's not faith. So now faith is the substance. You know what the word substance speaks about? A covering. So when seed is in the ground, you can't see it. You don't go to the ground, open it up to see what's happening. But behind the scenes, when that seed goes through a season behind the scenes, people might look at you like this and say, you're cracking. I'm not cracking, I'm growing. Seed breaks open. Seed breaks open. You're not breaking, you're growing. Oh, come on, I feel it. You're not breaking, you're growing. And then what happens? Then heat comes. And then it's cold. And then there's wind. But what happens with that seed? It grows. So it's a small, tiny plant. What happens again? Rain comes. Sun comes. Wind comes. What happens? It grows again. It grows again. It grows again. You might judge that tree and say, well, that tree doesn't even have fruit. Don't judge that tree on its off season. You just hang on and see that the time will come that he will truly, truly produce his fruit. Is somebody listening to me? Never criticize any person on the off season, for the days at hand where the season will change, where they will bear fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Who believes that in this place? I might be down for a second, but God is about to do something supernatural on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Who believes that God is going to do something for you supernaturally? If you believe that, quickly jump to your feet. Come on, I want you to start to pray with me in the spirit. Just start to pray, just for a few seconds. Come on, just as loud as you can. According to your word, we release provision in this place. More than enough, Lord. We declare 24-hour miracles, 24-hour turnaround, breakthroughs in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare this, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you and God bless.